long time and have touched on it at home, but I've never preached this message. But we are asked all the time by people, you know, well, what's the difference? I know when I first surrendered to preach, we went to Mount Clemens and we were driving 55 miles each way three times a week. And then we'd go another 15 miles the other side of the church and pick up a lady, come back to church. And we'd take her home on Sunday morning and then go back, get her Sunday night. Wound up, I think I put 56,000 miles on a car in 1 year, just going there, you know. But the Lord took care of all of that, always giving me a transportation and all of that. But people say, what's the difference? Why in the world you drive that far? Surely there's a church closer than that, you know. They say, one church is as good as another, you know, and all these other things. We'll get down into that for a minute. But they often say this to us, you know, about various questions in life, especially spiritual questions or religious questions, you know. You know, after all, we're all trying to get to the same place. Isn't that sad? I mean, that's sad to me when somebody says something like that. I say, you need something, and I'll tell you what I got. We used to have an older fellow in our church at Gethsemane years ago, and a salesman came in, and he was a Lutheran, and he said that. And this old fellow was in his 70s and still going strong, you know. The fellow said that, and he says, no, he says, you're wrong there. He said, some of us are going. It's too bad for you if you're just trying to get there. Because all the trying you can do won't work for anything unless you know what we know. Know the Lord Jesus Christ. So, all of these questions. And many churches, I don't know about this area, but in our area, many churches have decided to give people what they want. And that's sad. Because there's no excitement in what people want. They're just fleshly emotion. And we live in an emotional, crazed world. They have two or three different services. You know, they have a contemporary service, and then they have a traditional service. I can't understand that. I really can't. But that's what we're in and where we're at. And that's not God's will. This book is God's will. And we ought to be very careful what we do with it. There's little difference in most people's thinking but for God. I like all the messages I've heard. Brother Jones said, but God, you know. God butted in. And Brother Smith, how great and how good God is. He is. He's both great and good. But there is real differences. And I mean, there's serious differences.
Amen, brother.
There's a difference. You can either be right or you can be wrong. You can either be saved or you can be lost. You can be in the right church or a wrong church. Those are all serious differences. And you know, the sad part about it is most of the world doesn't know anything about it. But you could go on, and according to the Word of God, heaven or hell, you know. You can either be blessed or cursed.
Amen.
That's what God says. That's what He's always said to His people. Read Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30. God says, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I'll bless you. I'll bless you at the land. I'll bless you at work. I'll bless you in your home. He says, if you don't do it, I'll curse you.
Amen.
Well, that's a sad place to be. And that's where our world is at. And this kind of world we're living in that is reaping the cursing of Almighty God. And yet, He tells us, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season.
Amen.
So we could go on and on with those kind of comparings. But the difference begins with God. I'm glad, you know. A lot of the things about Scripture, you know, I can think about, and songs that we sing, I stood condemned to die, but Jesus took my place. Now that's a difference, isn't it? That makes a difference. And so as we think about these things, begins with John as he was over there baptizing in John chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 36. Here come Jesus. You know why he was going there? You know, because there was a difference. He could have been baptized someplace else. But there was a man sent from God whose name was John.
Amen.
And he was sent for that purpose.
Amen.
And Jesus was demonstrating to you and I and everybody in between that there is a difference.
Yes.
And that it's supposed to be done according to His Word and according to His will.
Amen.
And according to His instructions. And so there's a great difference. And old John says, "Behold," he saw Jesus coming. And that's what our message is every time we preach. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We want you to see Jesus. We want you to have what we got. Somebody says, "You just want everybody to believe like you do." Yes, I do, because I believe the book.
Amen. Amen.
And if the Word says something, I want everybody to believe it.
Yes.
So one day, some 52 years ago, I saw Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I saw Him high and lifted up.
Praise the Lord.
And I knew where I was.
Yes.
Person sitting next to me, and that's almost the same story Brother Jones told, but looked over and said, "Are you saved?" And I was gone. Because I wasn't. But I was the time I got to the front. Talked to Brother Hilly, and he asked me what I was coming for, and I told him I was lost and I wanted to trust Christ. And I don't even remember all the words we talked about, but nevertheless, we'll go into that a little bit later too, maybe, the Lord willing. But behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Many evangelists, you know, and many of the tracts that you get, it's got the Romans Road, you know. I'd go farther than that. I like to go down Calvary's Road. I'd like to see that hill with those three old rugged crosses. You know, cross don't really mean anything if you don't see Jesus on it. It's Christ that makes the difference. It's His precious blood that was shed. He was and is the Son of God. And He died there that we might have life. So as we think, you know, I like to think of these things, not just to think about them, but I like to tell other people about them. You know? I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. Somebody said, I think it was my brother or somebody else, you know, said that, and I've heard a lot of folks say this to me. Can't remember when they weren't saved, you know. Probably not then. You can't remember. Because I tell you, I can tell you now the time, and I can take you to the place. Because the Lord imprinted that on my mind, and it was real, and it is still real. It won't wear out, and it will never change. I've said this before, probably you've heard it, but when I was young, we had a quartet, we had a trio, really a family used to sing, "I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone," you know. That thrilled me. I mean, it really did. But, you know, that song says, "When I come to the river at ending of day and the last winds of sorrow have blown, there will be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone." But you know what? The most thrilling and exciting thing that one of them that the Lord has shown me since I've been saved is that when I come to the river at ending of day, I won't have to cross Jordan alone because He's been with me all the way.
Amen.
He's with me today. He's with you today if you know the Lord as your Savior.
Amen.
He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you."
Amen, brother.
Oh, what a fellowship we have. Amen. Listen, if you don't have fellowship with God, you don't have what I got.
Amen.
Because 1 John over there says, we have fellowship with the Lord, with His Son, and truly that's what it is. And we want you to have that same thing. We want everybody to be able to see and have that as we preach the Word of God. He's an ever-present help in time of need. Oh, I need. I need Thee every hour. We used to sing a lot of those old songs, you know, and they really had some meaning in them. These new ones, I mean, not new ones, but this song service has really been good here. And, well, of course, we enjoy it all the time. But a friend that sticketh closer. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Savior, mediator, companions in the road of life. We need to live. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am His own. That's wonderful. All the time. Nothing. Isn't that exciting? You excited yet? Isn't that wonderful to think about those things? We got something, you know, it just bothers me, really something bad, you know, when I see people that are jealous of the world. We see God's people that are jealous of the world. The world hasn't got anything like what we got. Don't have near the comfort, the strength, the power, the understanding, the peace, the love, the joy. I get aggravated. I do. I get aggravated when people come into church and they got an old long face and they're so sorry that they got to be there. Almost makes me sorry that they got to be there. Really, it's exciting. We're living it. I was talking to a couple of preachers a while ago, and you know, we're living in a time, a glorious privilege. I believe the Lord's given to us to live now. I always thought that I'd really like to have lived when Jesus walked and talked upon this earth, you know, and all of that. But I really think now is a more exciting time. I really do. More important time. Last days, perilous times shall come. Philippians tells us over there that unto us, there's that us. You know, we like the good things when it's us and we, you know, that the Lord's blessing. But He said, unto us it's given to suffer for the cause of Christ.
Amen, brother.
But Romans 8:18 wipes all that out when He says that we reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us.
Amen.
I say, glory. Christ has done. Brother Connor quoted some of my scripture, and Brother Jones did too, and Brother Garner, but that's all right. It's the Lord's Scripture. We'll do it again. 1 John 3:1. That behold again. See, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us.
Amen.
Us, that we might be called the sons of God. Now. See? I know a lot of folks talk about, oh, when I get to heaven, a lot of folks are going to be disappointed. If you don't love God's people here, and if you don't love the Lord's house here, you're not going to like heaven very well at all. Because we're all going to be there. But this is our lives. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. That's really it's a great and thrilling how good God is. Matthew 6:33, He says, seek ye first kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. You go over there, I'm not going to take time, you go over and read back up that chapter and see what all these things are.
Amen.
You don't need anything else.
Amen.
All the difference in the world. 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, who maketh thee to differ from another?
Amen.
God does.
Amen.
God does. What do you have that you didn't receive? Who do we receive? From God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. I'll just show you a few of them. Well, anyway, we got to move on. But turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I preach this quite often, but nevertheless, I want to read it here. Providence of God is wonderful. The greatest providence is spiritual, the needs and the power that allows us to live. Paul said in Philippians 4:12, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I believe he was referring to he could do anything God asked him to do because God was going to provide him with the wherewithal to do it. And he has. 2 Peter chapter 1. That Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Are you saved? Have you obtained that like precious faith? Do you know the Lord? If you don't, we're going to show you how here in just a little bit. But you must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must repent of your sin and trust Him. Believe. So that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me how many people don't want chapter verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. And a lot of them don't even come anyway around anywhere where they can get it. But grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Every sermon, every word that is preached and taught is done for a purpose, is to reveal the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to His people through knowledge of Him. See, verse 3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Who's called you? We just heard the effectual call and all this. God has. He's called us to glory and virtue through His Son, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We'll look at a few things very quickly here now. God's love. God's love. For God so loved, He gave His only Son. God's Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a right now possession. We've got a bunch of folks around us to talk about falling from grace. They don't have the same God I got. God gave me everlasting life. If it's not everlasting, He lied. And I don't like folks that call God a liar. But anyway, God's grace. Isn't that wonderful? Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's God's faith too, isn't it? If He gives it to us. Gift of God. I'm not putting anybody down. But you know, my Bible tells me that God, He's the God of all grace.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I'm not against, I believe in sovereign grace. He's the God of all grace. And He giveth more grace.
Amen.
Turn with me to 2 Corinthians for just a minute, and I really love this too, and I don't know, again, I don't understand why a lot of folks don't seem to want it, but we're talking about God, cultivating God's presence. I want to walk just as close as I possibly can. I don't want to miss any of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and because of time, I'll just read verse 8, but it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work.
Amen.
Why are we all abounding to every good work? God is able.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:10. Says that we're God's workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Philippians 2 and verse 12 says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He works through the preaching of His Word. It's God's Word. Pleases God. It pleased God. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that will believe. Romans 10:17. faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, what a responsibility. But also, I tell our folks all the time, you can say that two ways. You can say responsible, and we are. Or you can say responsible. Responsible. Able to respond to anything God asks. Because He's given it to us. He's given us the power, the understanding, the strength, His Holy Spirit, His Word. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can go on and on in this, but I believe it's God's church, don't you? Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Have not, has not, will not,
Amen.
Cannot.
Amen. That's right.
The commission to the church is God's. Baptism is a command to be a member of the church, and godly living. Think of godly living for a minute. Third part of the commission, teach them to observe all things.
Amen.
You know, God's gift to the church is your pastor. He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. I believe He does. I believe He still does. And His purpose is to teach them to observe. Practice. Do what He says. That's what makes all this, makes all the difference in the world. You can teach folks. I think one of the problems that's in our world today is children start coming. Of course, we recognize that God's in control. But one of the greatest human detriments is people that are raised with a knowledge of God, and they really don't ever, unless God convicts their heart, they ever come aware that they really need Him, that they need a Savior. And so, of course, we realize that it's all up to Him. And He's able. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So we're to pray and to earnestly contend and so on. With all these providences of God, the book of Jude says it is still needful for you and I to earnestly contend for the faith. It's not going to be automatic. It's not we're just going to come in and sit down and God's just going to pour out His blessings upon His people. We have to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. Somebody says, which faith? There's only one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's narrow. You know that? A lot of people say, boy, you mean you believe it? Baptist Church is the only church? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Sorry. I believe in a Baptist bride, too. But I'm not sorry. I mean, I'm sorry if that offends you. But that's what the book says. We're studying Revelation. You know, over there, the Church of Sardis, he said, there are some, even in the Church of Sardis, that will walk with me in white. They have not defiled their garments.
Amen.
That's responsibility. And that's what we're supposed to, where we're supposed to be. But anyway, Psalm 63 and 3 and all this. There's just, I want to read Psalms 40 first. Because this thrills me too. It's exciting to me. I can look back and I can see what God has done, what He's doing, what He's promised to do. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He didn't just save me, He established my going, still establishes my going. He has boundaries and ways for us to walk in. And He intends for us to walk in that way. Psalm 63 and verse 3 says, Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Whose loving kindness? God's. And I'm not going to take time to exploit all that's involved in that as far as the love of God is concerned. Oh, it's wonderful. My folks kid me all the time because I say fantastic a lot. When I think about God and what He's done and salvation and glory, that's fantastic, folks. That's something totally incredible for the human mind to understand. And it never will understand it without God, without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the Word. Psalms 116 says, I love the Lord because. Did you ever stop and think?
Amen.
Because you sit down somehow and take a pencil and paper and say, I love the Lord because.
Yes.
Take a whole lot of paper for me to write down, and I don't have time to tell you all the things I'm thankful for this morning, but I'm thankful for my family and my wife. This is our 50th year this year. She put up with a whole lot. I appreciate it. What shall I render? Down there a little bit farther in that Psalms 116, it says, what shall I render? Did you ever think? What can you render unto the Lord for all His benefits?
Amen.
All His benefits. Fruits of the Spirit, the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, the guidance, the comfort. And I'm thankful. Brother Jones, I can see all this too. Hindsight's a whole lot better than foresight a lot of times, you know. But I look back. My brother was called to preach, and I thought he had lost his last marble, you know. And I was saved and in the church too, you know. But everybody thought he'd went off the deep end, you know. But I can look back. And I can see all the things that I've lived through and God working in everyone to keep me from destroying myself. You ever hear of self-destruct? That's what we are without God. And I can see every bit of that now. I thought I knew everything, you know, from different times in my life, like a lot of folks say, but now I know. I think I know less and less every year, you know, and depend upon the Lord more and more. What shall I render unto the Lord? But He's bringing me to this very place today, to this very time. Brother Connor read it over there in John chapter 17, verse 1. And I'm not going to turn and read to it, but Jesus praying to the Father. This is a real Lord's Prayer.
Amen.
And I really like that.
Yes.
But it teaches something too. Teaches us what we ought to ask for is not new cars and millions of dollars or new homes or anything like that, but Father, bless me that I might be a blessing to You and Your people, that I might glorify You and bring honor and glory to the Lord. The book of Titus says that we ought to adorn the doctrine of God. That means enhance them, make them acceptable or at least wanted by other people, desirable. Make people say, there's something you got that I would like to have.
Amen. That's right. Amen, brother.
You know what it is? It's God, the Lord Jesus Christ, His power and His wonder and His glory. I've learned to try to pray in that way. Because I need Him. Can't do it without Him. He says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. So as we think about these things, lively stones fitly framed together, we might offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. That's the only kind worth offering. If He doesn't accept them, why offer it? And this book tells us how and what to offer. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy. H-O-L-Y, be ye holy as He is holy.
Amen,
acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. It's a difference. Makes the difference. It is. He is the difference. People come to church. Like I said many times, they don't realize there is any difference. They just somehow feel that they ought to do it, you know. But they come to church in all sorts of pitiful conditions, not really having any idea to come and worship God, to come to learn of God, thinking to be entertained or made to feel good. It won't happen. Not supposed to happen. Supposed to come to church to praise God, worship God, glorify God, and learn of God through knowledge of Him. And He supplies those things. Many leave disappointed when they find out what God expects. I often think, you know, and I watch them once in a while, but I shake my head a lot of times. A lot of this gospel singing, you know, men got long hair. I'm going to glorify God, though, even though God says it's shame for me to have this. Women got pants on, you know. But I'm going to glorify God and all. They're just having a big time. Wouldn't you just love to get in there and preach to them for about 30 minutes? Boy, they'd call you an old rotten so-and-so. You know, those aren't essential things. What God says is not essential. We're here to have a good time, you know. But anyway, we must have a desire to be fitted for service. Luke 1:17 says that preaching of the Word is to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what it's about. Prepared for the Lord. I just read over there in Psalm 37, and I'm not going to turn and read it again for time, but it says, delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Where's your delight? Are you excited? Is it thrilling to be a child of God? Because I know a whole lot of folks that it don't seem to be. Many don't delight to come just to be with God. I can't get over that. I've been preaching that for the last couple of years. When you got a small congregation, you got to preach some uplifting things. He says, where if two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. I believe he's here. Don't you? If he wasn't here, there's no sense in us being here. Absolutely. I come. I love to come to conferences. I come whether I preach or not. And I really enjoy them. I go home lifted up. I go home encouraged. And I told our folks this last week, I said, you pray that I come home on fire. You know, a lot of times, you know, we say, Lord, send a revival. Boy, I wish you'd revive our people, you know. Wish you'd do this. What about us? Lord, send a revival. Start the work here. Help me to be revived that I might preach to our people. And he says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Difference in being able to contend for the faith and so on. There's a lot of controversy, and we'll try to really, really hurry on. Don't smell the food yet. It's quite a ways back there, though, isn't it? There's a lot of controversy in our world, and earnestly contending for the faith is not really popular. Sad to say, it's not really popular among a lot of Baptists. God's not the author of confusion. The devil would like us to believe that he is, but this book has all you and I need to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered and to understand it. There's two great common denominators that God has given, and I know there's more than this, but nevertheless, these two, the Word and the Holy Spirit of God. It makes a difference. The two things that make all the difference. Preach the Word and the Holy Spirit. Make it effectual in the hearts of God's people.
Amen, brother.
Ecclesiastes says man has many inventions. But there's only one Word of God. There's only one Holy Spirit of God. And I'm so glad that His Spirit bears witness with my spirit.
Amen.
That He's born my spirit again. And it's all because of Him.
Amen.
I preached down Paducah last year, and the message was, Are you living? You know, I remember old Brother V.A. Turner too, Brother Jones. One of his favorite sayings, are you prepared to die? But you know, the Lord doesn't tell us to die today. He says live.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that they which live should henceforth no longer live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them. So we need to be prepared to live. We ask you, are you a scripturally baptized member of the Lord's church? And I realize everybody's not going to be in the Lord's church. But nevertheless, I believe the example is there, the encouragement's there, and the leadership is there for that. The commission says, go, preach the gospel. The Lord's going to save some folks, and He says, those He saves, make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them to observe. Practice. But when I say, are you a scripturally baptized member of the Lord's church, 1 Corinthians 12:18 tells me God does that too. He places in the church as it pleases Him.
Amen, brother.
So if you're in church, if you're in a true church, hallelujah again. Because it's a place of exceeding great blessings. Being the church that Jesus built. I'm not talking about in a worldly organization. I'm talking about being in one of the Lord's built churches. And I'll just add this in case I run out of time in a minute. But there's no other authority. I mean, I know it's from the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's in and through His church. There's no authority for missions or mission work outside of a true New Testament Baptist church.
Amen, brother.
Let your light so shine. We're going to really skip up here. 1 Peter 3:15. Take about four more minutes, Lord willing. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The reason of the hope that's in me is God. Because God
Amen.
Causes the Word to be preached.
Amen.
God's Holy Spirit convicted my heart of sin.
Amen.
And I believe God set me in the church. And so, as we continue to think of these things, I'm bound. I believe this with all my heart. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? And that's exciting as it can get, I believe. And God has given us specific instructions in that. Romans 12:1 and also bear in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. So others can see. Back when my youngest daughter was in grade school, they started a thing called show and tell time. I believe God's always had show and tell time. We're supposed to show that we've been saved and tell others how they can.
Amen.
It's time for us to get back to that.
Amen, brother.
And so it's God chose us to show others and to tell others about it. The preached word, even at a conference like this, or anywhere, we ought to have the desire to see it effectual.
Amen.
We're not preaching in a competition, or we're not preaching preaching for the glory of God.
Amen.
That He'll use that preached word to fulfill His purpose in this old world. And I'll never forget that first conference. I think there's 51 or 52 folks come forward that night. That's the night I surrendered to preach. God's able. My God's still God. And the kind of preaching we've heard so far and what we expect to hear all the way through is it ought to do something to people's hearts.
Amen,
and lives. Because if the Word of God doesn't change people, won't be changed.
Amen.
You can beg and plead and coax and coerce or whatever you want to. But except God makes a difference. There's no difference. God. God butted in. Great and thrilling goodness of God. So when I think of that, I'm bound for the promised land. Wow. The devil never ceased, though, to try to destroy the Lord's churches and to discourage God's people. But nevertheless, we are charged with the privilege to preach His Word. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And He places us in the church, all of us that are in His church, to take care of that. Stand for the truth. Having done all to stand some more. I'll tell you one little story. I was reading, trying to get through this the other night. And I know Sunday I preached real hard on some doctrines about the Lord's church and people. I looked up and my wife was looking over at me. And I said, "What are you looking at?" She says, "A hard-headed Baptist preacher." Well, I don't want to be mean, you know. And I don't want to be... I don't say anything to intentionally hurt anybody. But I believe it's time for us to stand for the truth. Tell it like it is, because it's up to us right now. I rejoice in the two young men that are here that have been surrendered to preach, and we appreciate them. I'll just end with this, talking about the difference. What makes a difference? In that same commission that the Lord gives to His church, He said, to do those things, go preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe. You know what the next verse says? And lo, I am with you always. We don't take care of that first part of that, He's not going to take care of the last part. And I need Him. And so, was a man sent from God, his name was John. Mark 1:1 says, in the beginning was the gospel, same John came preaching. Matthew 3:1 says the same thing. It says, then came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. And I read in this book where Jesus walked many miles to get scriptural authority baptism. And people say today, well, what's the difference? Jesus was baptized by a Baptist preacher according to the Word of God. The Bible says heaven opened up, the Holy Spirit descended upon Him, and God the Father spoke from heaven, said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Have you ever felt that? Do you have a desire to feel that? We're His. He's well pleased in us when we submit to Him. I was baptized by the authority of Missionary Baptist Church. I was baptized by a Baptist preacher. That makes me a hard-headed old Baptist. But I like that. Not the hard-headed part, but I think we ought to be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so, how about you? Are you a Baptist today? Are you a member of one of the Lord's churches? Always sing, brother.